How much new technological development is needed for U.S. businesses to reach net zero emissions by 2050? And what does Wells Fargo's new climate plan entail? Welcome to the Climate Recap from the Beckosphere Climate Corner, your go-to place for international and U.S.-based climate news. I'm Becky Hoag, a science writer. Today is Tuesday, May 10th. Let's jump right into the news you need to start your day. Let's start with a climate event. Wildfires going rogue in Siberia have killed at least 8 people as the winds are hindering firefighting and rescue efforts. The fires were likely started by sparking power lines, according to the Federal Forest Agency. The local branch of Russia's investigative committee announced it's launching criminal proceedings for causing death by negligence. Wildfires in this area are particularly impactful to global warming because they can melt permafrost, which holds a lot of methane from thousands of years' worth of decomposed plants and animals. Now to some climate studies. I want to start by continuing my explanation of one of the studies published in Science that I talked about yesterday, notably how governments risk $340 billion in lawsuits from oil and gas investors if climate action hurts their bottom line. And if climate action is done right, it should hurt fossil fuel investors' bottom lines because they're investing in what should be a dying industry. But something I didn't mention yesterday is that investors are able to do this through obscure international investment treaties. Countries have signed thousands of treaties to protect foreign investors from government action, and now it's coming back to bite them in the butt. The contracts allow investors to sue governments for compensation when contracts are interrupted, like if gas drilling projects were discontinued. These contracts are known as investor-state dispute settlements. The latest Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change report, which was released last month, even mentioned ISDS mechanisms as a method of delaying the clean energy transition. By the end of 2021, at least 231 of these cases had already been filed by fossil fuel companies suing a government. A third ruled in favor of the fossil fuel company, and a third was settled, which is not a good track record for companies looking to move away from fossil fuel production. And companies won't just leave the lawsuits to wealthy countries. Developing countries actually stand the most to lose from these settlements. The head of the Energy Charter Treaty has called on the United Nations Secretary General to call an emergency meeting to cancel all ISDS treaties. Meanwhile, a study published in the journal Earth's Future found that 80% of the world's croplands are likely to experience worsening water scarcity by 2050. The researchers assessed current and future water requirements for global agriculture and predicted whether water from irrigation and rainwater would be sufficient to satiate the crops. Bottom line, it will not be without climate mitigation and agriculture reform now. Now on to some climate victories. The Philippines Commission of Human Rights has found coal, oil, cement, and mining firms guilty of spreading climate misinformation that has resulted in inaction. This is the result of a 7-year inquiry requested by victims of Typhoon Haiyan and local NGOs. It concludes that the world's 47 most polluting companies are morally and legally liable for the impacts of the climate crisis. The commission has called on governments to phase out fossil fuels, promote renewable energy, and make sure companies are subject to strong corporate responsibility laws. Experts say this long-awaited report could help fuel a new round of climate lawsuits against these polluting industries. Meanwhile, the think tank McKinsey recently released a roadmap for how U.S. businesses can reach net zero emissions. What's cool about this report is it shows how we have the vast majority of the technological developments we need to decarbonize now. According to the report, by 2025, 90% of the greenhouse gas curbs needed will come from the technology in the mature and early adoption phases. And as you look further out in time, those will still be the primary technologies being used. In other words, the ones coming out on the market right now are likely to be the ones that will get us through the clean energy transition. So there's no more "we have to wait for the tech" excuses anymore. The report offers a scenario that halves U.S. emissions by 2030 to reach net zero by 2050. It will cost about $27 trillion to keep warming at 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels, which is the goal we should reach to avoid the majority of climate catastrophes. Wells Fargo & Co. announced new emissions targets to line up with Net Zero Banking Alliance goals. The Net Zero Banking Alliance was founded during the last United Nations Climate Conference, COP26, in November, to get financial institutions to stop financing fossil fuels. One of Wells Fargo's new goals is to reduce absolute emissions by companies it lends to by 26% by 2030 from 2019 levels. It also pledges to reduce its portfolio's emissions intensity by 60% by 2030. These goals line up similarly with Citigroup's emissions plans. Both companies plan to reach net zero emissions in all emissions scopes, meaning direct and indirect emissions, by 2050. Wells Fargo is the third largest fossil fuel funding bank in the world, providing $272 billion to fossil fuel projects between 2016 and 2021. They've made emissions reductions claims before, so we'll have to keep an eye on their fossil fuel spending to see if they actually change their habits. And the Department of Energy proposed an update to its energy efficiency standards for water heaters for the first time in 2 decades. These updates, it argues, could save businesses $140 million a year in operating costs and eliminate certain inefficient natural gas-consuming water heaters from the market. The new standards would also reduce 37 coal-fired power plants' worth of emissions between 2026 and 2055. Naturally, the American Public Gas Association is against this new DOE proposal, and the proposal will still need to be finalized after a public comment phase. Now on to a developing story. Yesterday, U.S. federal regulators heard arguments from the passenger rail service Amtrak and two freight companies, which are fighting over the same railroads. Amtrak has tried to provide transportation from New Orleans to the rest of the Gulf Coast since Hurricane Katrina, but these freight companies, Norfolk Southern and CSX, have blocked them from using the tracks in that area. How federal regulators respond to this could determine whether this country chooses to prioritize public transportation. President Biden has been a long supporter of public transportation, allocating $66 billion in the infrastructure bill to go to Amtrak. But if the service gets blocked in favor of transporting stuff, it could make expanding public transportation in this country nothing more than a pipe dream. So I'll keep you posted. Okay, let's look at some climate fails. A new report by the Changing Markets Foundation accuses current sustainability claims in the global fashion industry of being nothing more than greenwashing, which is when groups claim they're sustainable when they're not. The fashion industry is responsible for 2-8% of global greenhouse gas emissions. The report finds voluntary efforts to reduce fashion's footprint have actually led to more pollution. Basically, most of the claims involve reducing plastic from things like hangers, bags, and other packaging, rather than focusing on how much of the garment is made of plastic. One problem is that many of the sustainability certification programs are funded by fashion companies themselves, so they can basically pay their way to a sustainable certification. Remember, the best way to reduce your closet's impact is to buy secondhand. Over to tech, Samsung is increasing its investors' risk as it continues to primarily run on fossil fuels without a net zero pledge in sight. It hasn't tried to transition like many of its competitors, like Google, Apple, and the Taiwanese chip maker TSMC. Samsung produced about the equivalent emissions through direct and indirect operations as the country of Norway. Now to Brazil, where the deforestation problem in this part of the Amazon rainforest continues to get more dire. Deforestation hit a new record in April, which saw nearly double the amount of tree cover removed than April 2021, the previous record holder for that month. April is the third record holder month this year, with January and February also holding deforestation records. The area is being deforested for many reasons, a big one being big agriculture. The most recent deforestation has been tied to new highways being constructed to increase operations. Deforestation in Brazil has drastically increased under the country's current leadership, President Bolsonaro. The country will hold general elections in October, so that will be a big election for the climate. The Amazon rainforest is a vital ecosystem to maintaining a stable planet capable of maintaining human life. And that was your climate news for Tuesday, May 10th. If you like the work I do, please follow this podcast, give it a 5-star rating, leave a review, and consider checking out the Becosphere Climate Corner YouTube channel. Remember to talk about the climate crisis every single day and to support your local news organizations. Bye for now.